The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he rather not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start with the beginning of this reading from St. Paul to Timothy, the first line. "Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control." I'm struck by his words in a particular way because earlier today we had 114 people, young people from our parish, who were confirmed by Bishop Burbage here in the church. We had over 1,000 people in the church. It was like Easter. It was incredible to be able to get together and have that kind of a beautiful celebration, celebrating our young people and their new union with the Holy Spirit. And I think that as Catholics, sometimes we tend to underestimate the power of what we have received. It's easier for us sometimes to think, well, we're weak. We need to have more resources, or we need to have more understanding, or perhaps more forgiveness from God than what he's providing for us. I propose to you that he has already given us everything. We just need to discover it. So in today's gospel, we hear Jesus teach about faith and service to God. The context is a continuing dialogue between Jesus and his followers about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus has just finished an instruction on sin and forgiveness. The gospel today includes two related teachings that Jesus offers to his disciples when they cry out for an increase of faith. The first is the familiar reminder that faith, even just a little faith, enables the followers of Jesus to do amazing things. Reflect on what Jesus says, and I don't think he is exaggerating here. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could command a tree to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. In another place in the Gospels, he says, you can move mountains. Now, the way I was brought up is a totally different way of reading this scripture than I do today. Because when Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, the voice in the back of my head says, but you don't. Right? Jesus is not telling his apostles that they don't have faith. He's telling his apostles about the great faith that they have. And even if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to do these things. But do you see how we've been conditioned? I think, and maybe I'm revealing too much about myself, but I have a feeling like most Catholics are like this. It's like we were brought up to think, okay, life is like a big report card. Like, what is the grade I got in this? Did I flunk or did I pass? What a horrible image of God that is. God who gives us everything. God cannot give us part of everything because he is God. It is possible to say that perhaps we have grossly underestimated the power of the faith that we have, no matter how small. But this uplifting and inspiring teaching is quickly followed by a second teaching, a caution about knowing one's place in God's plan. The disciples of Jesus are to understand themselves as servants of God and his plans, even when God works wonders through us with our mustard seed-sized faith. We must not seek praise for what we do. Our participation in God's plan is God's grace to us, nothing more and nothing less. When we are graced enough to cooperate with God, the work we do is nothing more than our obligation to God as faithful stewards. Our faith enables us to believe that his gift, which we have offered in service to God as his servants, can be made to produce 100-fold. But faith requires a servant's heart. We can't just be people who do really good things. Otherwise, that can become an exercise in ego building. The temptation is we may begin to feel that somehow we are paving our own path to heaven through our own actions. We can't earn God's love, and we don't have to. That's the good news. We don't have to. So at the end, we are here to serve and to let God do the rest. As one of the daily prefaces of the Eucharistic prayer says, our desire to thank God is itself his gift. It adds nothing to his greatness, but profits us for salvation. Rather than a spirit of entitlement as the master, then, we must have the expectation of a servant, but remember, a servant of a great master. A great master is going to treat his servants very well. And the master in the gospel that Jesus reveals to us has turned the tables on the way the world thinks. He is surprising. He intends to serve you. The servant exists to prepare the meal. Yes, and we serve whether he is grateful for our service or not. Our service is not based on any benefit we might receive for what we do. We do what is right not to be recognized or rewarded. We do what is right because it is the right thing to do. But here he doesn't say, prepare me a meal. Jesus says, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He did not glorify the Father by what was done for him, but that he did what the Father asked him to do in obedience. Remember, in the gospel today, Jesus is on the way to his final days in Jerusalem, and these things are on his mind. He's going to be leaving his friends behind, and he wants them to know the most important things. Because of his great love for all people, he wants us all to be with him in eternity. For that to happen, we must align our lives to his as he lived in service while he was here during his time of incarnation on this earth. I hope we can find great consolation in the fact that our self-emptying service will never take the extreme form as Jesus gave himself on the cross for us. But we must recognize that the path to him is the path of service. You could say small crosses in which we lose ourselves in service to him and others, which we must embrace every day. There is no other way.